that. All right. Good music, good singing, good everything today. Amen. I like that. I don't know why I used to hear preachers get up and say years ago, boy, this is better than being in the best jail in town. Amen, right? I guess. I don't know. I think we got a pretty nice one around here, but yeah, it's not a good comparison, is it? This is a great, I'm glad you chose to be in the house of God for Easter, and you chose to do it at Liberty Baptist in Snow Hill. Amen? So I'm glad that you were here today. It's been good already to me. Here in a little bit, we'll dismiss, and you can go over to the fellowship hall across there, and they'll get things set up. The kids will do the candy scramble. You can go observe and watch that, and like I said, they usually get that done pretty quick once they turn the kids loose on the candy over there. All right, let's go in our Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 16. Do pray for me. I'll be able to do all right here. And just you know how these things linger, you know, when you get them. I felt it slightly last Sunday, just slightly. But you know how it is at that point? You're hoping this nothing, you know. Well, by Monday, I knew. You know, I had something. And by Wednesday, I was sick. And just been recovering from the latter part, you know, but sometimes you don't, when you're doing that, you don't do a whole lot of talking and singing until you come to be the preacher at the church, and then you realize if you're well or not, right? All right, so let's go to Mark 16 today in our Bibles. I'm going to ask you to stand with me for some of the reading today. I'm going to focus on verse 20 today, which is on the screen, but I'm going to read a lot more than that, all right? So if you have a Bible, and there's some in the pews there, let's go back to verse 1, and then we'll work our way down. We'll just highlight some stuff. The story of the resurrection, chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. It was an angel. Verse 6, "And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him, as he said unto you." Now, two things in verse 7. One is, "and Peter." Make sure you tell Peter, because Peter just denied me three times. He's feeling really bad. He's feeling really low. And I want you to know, I want you to tell him, I want to see him too. Not to reprimand him, not to rebuke him. I still love him. Aren't you glad when you fail the Lord, he still loves you? Amen? So he included Peter in a special way. But then that angel said his last statement, he said he could go before you into Galilee, as he said unto you. Why are y'all so sad around here looking for a dead man? He told you he was going to rise again 3 days later. That angel was kind of like, you people, why don't y'all listen, you know? The Lord told you he was coming out 3 days later. All right, let's jump to verse 15. 40 days later, the Lord had 40 days ministry on the earth after he resurrected. He's about to go back to heaven. Verse 15, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's the Great Commission. He said, I want you to go. Tell the good news of salvation to the whole world, every person. Amen? Right? All right, jump down to verse 19. So after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, or the right side of God there. Verse 20. And they, now he went back to heaven, right? Verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following, amen. Now, in verse 20, Jesus is back in heaven, and they go to do what he told them to do. But you notice the Bible says, the Lord working with them. Folks, he didn't really leave them. And he didn't leave you. He's up there in heaven right now, our Father which art in heaven, but he's working with us right now. Amen? Don't you believe that? The Lord wants to work with you now from heaven. Of course, if you get saved, he'll come into your heart and live with you. Amen? By his Spirit. They didn't yet have the Holy Spirit come at that point yet. That was a few days later. But the Lord working with them. Now, they were sad. He's gone. He left us. But the Bible says, the Lord working with them. So I just want to preach for a few moments on this thought, because he lives. Because he lives. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for the truth of the Word. And I pray you'd enable me and help me today to say the right things. But more importantly, I pray, dear Lord, that people will not just hear the words that I say, but they'll hear your Word in their heart, and you'd meet the needs of this congregation. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Because he lives. The cross was not the end of it. His death was necessary. You know, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Anytime you see us baptize somebody, I always tell them, look, and he said in here, by the way, I didn't read the verse, but if you're saved and baptized, well, you believe and are baptized. Well, you don't have to be baptized to get saved. We understand that. But it's a picture of what happened when a person believed. Jesus died, buried, rose again, right? When you got saved, you died to that old life of sin. You were buried to that old life of sin, and you arose to a new life in Christ to live for him. Amen? And that's what he's describing and talking about there. So the cross, as terrible as that was, that he paid, the wages of sin is death. He paid it. He paid your debt. Amen? Right? He paid your debt. He came and paid it for you. Otherwise, you spend an eternity paying for your sins in hell, and we want to be saved from that, right? So he came. He resurrected, 40 days ministry. He gave that great commission in verse 15, go tell the whole world, tell every creature. I want everybody to know the story of my son. Or this is Jesus telling them, but God wanted everybody to know the story of what his son had done to pay for their sins and make it possible for us to go to heaven. Well, then it tells us there in verse 19, they watched as he ascended back up into heaven. The book of Acts describes it. He just ascended. They just watched him. An angel said something about, why are y'all staring at that? I mean, he's going to come down in like manner. He's coming back. Amen? He'll be coming back. We're still waiting on that, but don't worry about it. All the hundreds of years that he prophesied about the first coming, Christmas is true. Now we're looking for his second coming. Amen? And we have no doubt about that. He ascended back up into heaven. He is now in heaven. What's he doing? The Bible says he's interceding for us. He's up there praying for us. He's up there working with us. He's still at work today in and through and with his church today, his people. And I want to say this to you today, because he lives, he wants to be actively involved in your life, in a relationship with you down here on the earth and until he takes you on home to heaven for eternity. Because he lives forever, you're going to live forever too. I heard somebody say if Jesus had not resurrected, the world would have ceased. Because the Bible says he not only created it, but in all things consist. He's the one that keeps it going. But we don't have to worry about that. His body was dead. He was not dead. The soul and spirit never die. Amen? But because he lives today, there's several things that I want to point out to you from this today. Not necessarily straight out of the passage, but that's the Easter story and gives us this truth that Jesus lives today. He lives. You're alive today. Thank God for it. The Lord lives today, and he will live forevermore. Let me give you a few thoughts. Number one, because he lives, we can be saved. We can be saved today. We can be saved from having to go to hell. Hell's an awful place. Jesus described it. He said more about it than heaven. You can't have a heaven without hell. That's the Bible truth. God wrote the book. Amen. And he sent his son to save us. That's a Bible word. To seek and to save that which was lost. Because he lives today, you and I can be saved today. I'm glad I'm saved and on my way to heaven today. I'm glad I'm saved today. I'm glad I've received Christ. Friend, are you saved and born again? Jesus talked about being born again. That's the new birth. You have the first birth, physical birth, but you need to have the spiritual birth, the rebirth, if you will, the second birth that Jesus talked to Nicodemus about. You know, so many people today are like, well, I think I'll make it. I think I'm a pretty good person. I think I'll make it. And, of course, I always ask that, well, you think you're going to make it to heaven? Yeah. Based on what? I'm a good person. Show that to me in the Bible. That's not how it works. I mean, the Bible is so plain and clear that there is none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God, I believe, we've come short. We've missed the bullseye. We've missed the mark. You throw those darts and you want to hit the bullseye. The bullseye was the glory of God, the perfection of God, the Jesus Christ. We've all come up short of that. We were sinners from day one, right? Then something needed to be done about our sin. And the Bible said the wages of sin is death. You earned a penalty. It's a wage. It's a penalty. You go to work, you earn wages. Well, for our sin, we earn the wages of death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Now, a wage you earn, a gift you don't earn, right? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is not death. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord who died on that cross for us. Amen? And resurrected again 3 days later. Because He lives, He can hear you today. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can say today, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I'm lost. And I realize I'm hell bound and hell deserving, but I don't want to be. I realize You love me. I realize You want to change my destination and You want to prepare a place for me up there in heaven. And Lord, I call upon You today. I confess that I'm a sinner and You're the perfect Holy One who died on that cross and You already paid for my sins. I don't have to go to hell and pay for them forever. You paid for them on the cross and I want to receive You as my substitute payment. I want to receive You as my Savior today to save me from that. And because He lives, He can hear that prayer. He can save your soul. He can change your life. Amen? Because He lives, we can be saved today. That's why He told them in verse 15, before He left, we call it the Great Commission. It's what He commissioned them to do. He said, go tell the whole world about this. Preach the gospel, the good news, to every creature. God wants everybody to know about salvation. So, friend, we don't go around saying, well, I think I'm going to make it because I'm a good person. You know, if I can make it to heaven because I'm a good person, Jesus didn't have to come die for me or you. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't work like that. We're sinners. We can't make it on our own. Jesus had to. There was no other way. He had to come live a perfect life to satisfy God's demand of perfection, but He did it on our behalf. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. So when I get to heaven, I'm not going to say, well, I think you should let me in because I think I was a pretty good guy. No, that's not the way you get in this place. Why should we let you in? Because I'm with Jesus. He paid my ticket. He paid my sin debt. He paid it all. And He said on the cross, it is finished, meaning paid in full. And I've received Him as my Lord and Savior. I'll walk into heaven. If I die today, I'm going to heaven. Why? Not because I'm a good person, but because Jesus is the perfect person and I'm with Him. Amen? I always say, you parents carry your kids into these amusement parks. They walk right in because you paid the ticket, right? Amen? We're going to walk right into heaven because Jesus paid the ticket. Amen? Because He lives today, we can be saved. We can be forgiven. We can have a home in heaven. But it's only and all because of Him. We're not, you know, the Bible says not of works lest any man should boast. The Bible says we'll get up there and we'll brag about how we got up there. How'd you get up here? Oh, man, you should have seen me how good I was down there. I mean, you know, really. The Bible says we'll boast about it. You know, we're going to say, praise the Lamb that was slain. The one that shed His blood. My sins are covered under the blood of Jesus. We've sang about that today. That's the Bible theme. I'm just going to praise the Lord forever for what He did for me. Amen. He loved me enough that He came and died and took my place. We're not bragging about it. we're bragging on Him. Amen? Because He lives, we can be saved. Let me say number two, because He lives, we can hear from God today. Choir sang about that too. We can hear from God. You know, we've got a Bible. I like having it. This is God's Word. Amen? That's the Bible. That's God's Word that we have. Amen? I am so glad God has given us a book, a manual. I've heard people all my life say, yes, some man wrote it. Well, I'm telling you, I never met a man smart enough to write this. And here's the fact of the matter. If a man could, well, first of all, if a man wanted to write, he couldn't write it. Now, second of all, if he wanted to write it, he wouldn't have wrote it like this. Because this condemns everything about us and points us to the one that we need. That's not the way religion works. Religion is, I don't need God, I'll go to my own heaven my own way. No, if a man wrote the Bible, he wouldn't say the stuff that it says. And it wouldn't call us sinners, and it wouldn't say Jesus is all. Man can't write this. This is the most amazing, fascinating book that there is. And it is, we believe, it is certainly the Word of God. We had the Bible on it. Now, you can ask yourself today, you can say, well, does God approve of this or disapprove of that? Well, all you got to do is get in your Bible and look it up and find out. Right? That's what Christians do. It is our manual. We look at the Bible. Saved people listen to the Word of God. The Bible says not be hearers only, but doers of the Word. We can hear it, but we got to apply it and practice it. If God's Word calls it a sin, we ought to call it a sin too. Amen? Whatever it is, I always say this, the list of sins in the world is getting pretty short. According to us, what we call sin. But God hadn't changed anything. Amen? And so we got a Bible here that will guide us and direct us. And as Christian people, that's what we live according to. Christians live according to the Word of God, the Bible. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, great preacher years ago, said this. He said, I'd recommend you either believe God all the way to the hilt or don't believe Him at all. You know, we can't pick and choose and say, well, I want heaven, not hell. I want this doctrine and not that doctrine. No, he's saying, you got to believe this book, every letter of it, or else reject it. There is no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the depths of divine revelation. Because a faith that paddles about the edge of the water is a poor faith at best. He said, go all in or don't go at all. And that is true. We can't say, well, I like that part, I like that part. No, it's the Word of God cover to cover. Amen? Someone else said this. The Bible is like a telescope. If a man looks through his telescope, he sees worlds beyond. But if he just looks at his telescope, he doesn't see anything but it. The Bible is the thing to be looked through to see that which is beyond. But most people just look at it, and all they see is dead letters. Because they're not looking in it. They're not studying it. So the Bible is the Word of God. It gives us everything we need. And plus, the Bible feeds the soul. You know, I love this verse. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. I'm in that grandparent club now, so I fed the baby the bottle yesterday. Amen. And they desire it. And they desire it often. And they like a lot of it. And they let you know. Amen, right? But what happens with that? Growth. And God said, we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. How are you going to grow in your Christian life? You're going to get in the Word. By the way, the Bible not only says it's the milk of the Word, it's the meat of the Word. There's some tough stuff in there too. There's some steak in there, right? There's some lettuce in there. There's some easy stuff in there. But there's the tougher stuff. But as you grow in the Lord, you go from milk to meat. You go from the milk to the solid, and you grow in the Lord. The Bible talks about Joshua. It said, it told Joshua, meditate therein day and night. We know how to do that. We do it with TVs and screens and phones. We meditate and stuff day and night. Excuse me. Right? We know how to think on things and meditate on things. The Bible says, God said, I want you to meditate on this day and night, then you'll have success in your life. The Bible talked about Apollos being a man mighty in the Scriptures. He knew his Bible. As you study it, as you learn that it is the most fascinating book there is. No need in you being a weak Christian. Stay in the Bible, right? Find out what the Bible says about it. Daily hear from God and be built up in the faith. You say, well, God never talks to me. And you know what God does? God says, I gave you my Word. Just read it. I'll talk to you. If you'll read it and listen, I'll talk to you. God, we can hear from God today because we got the Bible. He said, preach the word, go to church. That's God's plan. Somebody's going to preach the word, preach the Bible. We're going to read it on our own. You know, because he lives today, he can speak to us, is what I'm saying. That still small voice the Bible talks about. Your bulletin says something about to hear God turn the world's volume down. Sometimes the world's so loud we don't hear the still small voice of God speaking to us. Sometimes, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we don't get still and just open our Bible and say, Lord, speak to me today. Because he lives, he can speak to us. Because he lives, we can hear from God. Let me give you number three is this. Because he lives, we can pray. In other words, he can hear us too because he lives, right? Because he lives, he can hear us. I'm glad we don't worship a dead religious leader today. Amen? You can go visit the graves of all the rest of them. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. He gave his tomb to Jesus. He may not have realized it, but he said, you can put him in my tomb. Joseph got to use it later because Jesus only needed it for 3 days. Amen? But all those other religious leaders, they're still in their place. They're still in their spot, and you can go visit their graves. Amen? And Joseph of Arimathea was like, well, you can't outgive God. I even gave him my tomb and got that back too. Amen? So the Lord takes care of whatever we need there. He's the one up there in heaven hearing prayer. You know, do you have any needs today? Tell the Lord about it. You say, well, I tell my spouse. I tell my children. I tell my parents. I tell my friend. I tell my coworkers. And I get on my telephone and I tell everybody else. You know, the Lord won't, and I get on Facebook and tell the world, right? But, you know, the Bible says, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Do you tell the Lord about your concerns, your cares, your situations? What's bothering you today? We're supposed to. He said, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. That means don't be anxious about everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. God, I need this. Whatever it is, you talk to the Lord about it. You can cast your anxieties and your worries and your problems. And because he lives, he can hear you. Because he lives, you can pray, and he can hear, and he can help. Have you ever read through the Psalms? Boy, David believed that. Amen. David believed in how to pour his heart out to God. And he got help when he did that. Amen. Hey, we can tell people, excuse me, and we can do all of that, but let's tell the Lord about it too. That's part of the relationship and the fellowship that God wants to have with you. That's why he said, go tell everybody in the world. Because God wants them to know him. All right, let me give you another one. Number four. Because he lives, we can be led of the Lord. He was leading them. He was guiding them. He was telling them what they needed to do. That still applies today. Jesus said to his disciples, follow me. That still applies today. Are you letting the Lord lead and guide and direct your life today? He's alive. He wants to, right? Again, it's part of the fellowship. It's part of the relationship that you have. He can lead your life. Now, you say, well, it's not easy. I know it's not easy. It's not always easy. Are these thoughts my thoughts, or is this the Lord leading? And you got to discern all of that. But the Bible teaches us, if we'll acknowledge him, he'll direct our paths, right? If we'll look to him and we'll acknowledge him, it just means pray about it. The Lord wants to lead and guide and direct. You know what's wrong with the world today? We're not letting God Almighty up in heaven who gave us the word guide us. The Bible says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So we've got to get the Bible and know what God says about it. Amen? We all need the Lord in our life. You don't need to do life by yourself. Aren't you glad if you're saved today? Aren't you glad you're not having to do it by yourself? It's hard. It's hard. Life's hard. You got any hard situations? You got any circumstances, situations that is just not ideal for what you want it to be? It is hard. You say, you know, well, at least you got the Lord you can lean on, and he'll guide and direct and help. Now, sometimes you got to wait on him, and he doesn't always open the door when you want it open and the way you want it, thought it would be. But the Bible does say he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask. Have you ever prayed about something and God did it, and it's like, well, I never thought of that, Lord. He said, that's why you need to be talking to me. You know, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? And the Lord can lead our life better than we can. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, the Bible says, and he delighteth in his way. Not my way, his way. Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I like that. A lamp unto my feet for every step. A light unto my path for direction in life. Amen? We can get the principles from the Bible. We can get the basic stuff from the Bible. And there's specific things you need to know about, but you can get basic principles from the Bible about how to live your life. God gives us that for, first of all, obviously, it's salvation. But if you'll pray for guidance and trust Him, He'll give it to you. All right, what did I give you today? Time's right, running out. All right, you can be because He lives, you can be saved, you can hear from God, you can pray, you can be led of the Lord. Y'all believe that today? He lives, He can do all this. Let me give you one more, number five. Because He lives, we can go to heaven. It says in verse 19, when Jesus' earthly life was over, He went back to heaven. He left heaven for a while so that you could go to heaven forever, right? When He died, He went to heaven. If you're saved today and you die, you go to heaven. You know, my dad just went to heaven. And I tell you, my dad looked forward to that for years. He talked about heaven. He speculated about heaven. He studied about heaven. He wondered about heaven. Now he knows about heaven. He's there. He's not disappointed either. Amen? The Bible says it's far better than down here. Far better than down here. And certainly, the alternative of hell, we don't want that. We can be saved from that. Because He lives, we can go to heaven. I look forward. I anticipate seeing my dad again and my brother, and they're reunited up there. You've got, Douglas, I've talked about you. And I look across here. I've done so many, had the honor of helping so many of y'all whenever it was your turn to lose a loved one. But I tell you what, the Bible says saved people go to heaven, and they can be reunited in heaven. We got a lot to look forward to. Amen? You can look forward to seeing your loved ones again. The Bible says so. The Bible says, let me give you this real quick. In 1 Thessalonians, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. Talking about those that are already passed on. That ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. Why don't they have hope? They're not saved from hell. Don't sorrow like them. You don't have to sorrow like them. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Amen. There it is. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. There it is. That's how you get it. By the word of the Lord. Not anybody else. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout of the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, already in their graves, shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's the Bible. I started to make this point because He lives, He's coming again. And that applies too. But because He lives, we can go to heaven and be with Him. And all these other folks that we miss that have already gone on ahead of us. Because He lives. Friend, do you know Him today? Have you received Him? Do you walk with Him? Do you talk with Him? Does He talk with you? Is He guiding and leading and directing your life and preparing a place for you up there in heaven? That's the whole point of Him coming right there. Do you know Jesus today? Are you in daily fellowship with Him? He's not in that grave anymore. Amen? A little boy had Down syndrome. His name was Philip. He was in an 8th grade Sunday school class. And the other children, you know how it is. Children sometimes, they don't accept that other child because he's got some problems. Well, the teacher tried to, you know, fix that, remedy that. But the kids began to, you know, accept Philip for who he was and that he was different. But after Easter, the Sunday school teacher brought these plastic eggs, these little empty plastic eggs, and she said, we're going to go outside and we're going to find some signs of life because Easter is about life. And she said, I want you to just find a little something out there and put it in the egg, close it up, Well, they did it. They come back in, and one by one, the teacher would open up the egg. And one little boy, they opened his up, and a butterfly flew out. He caught him a butterfly and stuck in there. Well, that was a sign of life. Another one had a green leaf in there. She would open up another one, and there was a flower in there. She opened up another one, and there was nothing in it. And the other kids were like, somebody didn't do it right. Somebody didn't do the assignment. Philip said, that's mine. I figured, Philip, you don't know how to do things right. That's just dumb. You didn't do it. He said, I did it. I did do it. He said, the tomb was empty. That's true life. That's Easter. They learned a lesson. They got silent. But Philip got an infection soon after that. He died. Most kids would have shrugged it off, but because of his condition, he died. At his funeral, that little 8th grade Sunday school class, they walked up front, each one of them, lay by the casket, that empty plastic egg, because they learned from him, life is in that empty tomb. Eternal life, and life abundant, and life forever, and salvation and forgiveness and the peace and the love of God was all because of the empty tomb. Because he lives, we can be saved today. We can know the Lord today. And we've got so much to look forward to today. Is he in your heart? Do you know him? Do you have him? Have you admitted I'm a lost sinner? I'm not just trying to be a good person. I'm a lost sinner. And I need the salvation that he provided. And because he lives, you can call on him today. And he can save your soul, change your life. The Bible says, if any man, any person be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. It's a new life in Christ. Amen. Dead to the old life, alive to the new life. Do you know him today? He lives. Does he live in your heart? Does he live in your life today? Have you received him? Would you bow your heads with me this morning, please? Heads are bowed this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Let's think about it. Look, this altar is open. If you need to come this morning, just say, thank you, Jesus, you come. You need to come pray, you come pray. You need to come cast your cares, you come cast your cares. You need to come receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today and make it real in your life. Would you come today and receive Christ as your Savior? He paid the payment, but you have to receive the payment by faith. Dear Father, speak to our hearts. Meet the needs this morning, whatever they are. Thank you so much that you can hear and help now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Well, music plays. The altar is open. Nobody's looking around. You might want to come this morning and say, I need Jesus. I need his help. I need his salvation. I need direction in my life. I need his leadership. I need his guidance. Some are coming this morning. How about you this morning? But somebody might need to come this morning and say, Preacher, I need Jesus. I need salvation. I thought I was saved. I don't think I am. Whatever is going on in your heart, you listen to that voice this morning, and you obey the Lord this morning. Heads are bowed. Some are on the altar praying. Where you are right there, right now, ask yourself, do I know him? Is he in my heart? Is he in my life? Do I just know about him? Or do I know him? Have I just heard about him? Or have I actually, by faith, received him? Are you saved? Is he preparing a place for you? Because your sins are washed away under the blood, the payment that he made. Do you know you're saved today without a doubt? No need to doubt about it. Don't say, I hope I am. Don't say, I plan to be. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Do you know him without a doubt? Have it settled in your heart. Don't wonder about it. Don't live in fear. Live in the peace and assurance of knowing Jesus is my Savior. He knows me, and I know Him. How about you this morning? He loves me. I want to love Him too. He wants to lead us. We want to let Him guide us. Let God speak to your heart. Obey His voice. Listen to His voice. If He tugs on your soul, He's saying, come unto me. Let's not take Him our good works. Let's take Him our sinfulness and our needs, and He'll take over from there. You can look this way. If you're not saved or you're not sure about it, we want to help you with that. No need to continue on hoping and wondering. The Lord says we can know it, and hope you'll take care of that. That's the best thing. That's what Easter's about. Amen. Knowing the Lord and Him knowing us. We will not be here this evening, so please be aware of that. We're going to go right over here in just a minute, and the candy scramble will take place. Brother Allen, is there much you got to do to get ready for that, or... You're ready. All right. So as we dismiss, you fellowship or whatever, but we'll all mosey on over there. And I say it don't take long. What takes long is getting y'all over there. So anyway, and usually the preacher's last, but...